a better way. You don't have to be.
And we are live a few moments early, and we will be taking a live podcasting risk today. I'm actually going to be interviewing ChatGPT over my phone, piped over a Bluetooth speaker, and pointed at the microphone, because I came up with this idea sort of kind of in my head on Saturday during the workshop when Sean Mills did something I'll tell you about in a second. But then I actually decided to do it today, and not wanting to fool around with trying to plug things in and make audio work, I came up with a dead simple solution. Bluetooth speaker set up on a stand, pointed at my main microphone. So I'm going to ask you guys for a little bit of assistance today. When I actually start talking to ChatGPT, if the volume that you're getting from the GPT side, because it's going to be talking to you, not just text, if it's a little, this is for the live audience, obviously, if it's a little too low or too high, let me know, and I can do some volume adjustment while we're going. So I actually have a whole bunch of questions that I'm going to ask ChatGPT today in real time, and I mean verbally, and it's going to respond verbally as well, about using ChatGPT and using AI as a whole, why everyday people might want to be using it. I've tried to convince you guys for quite a while now that this is a great tool. And what I was like, when I saw what Sean did, I'm like, why don't I let ChatGPT explain itself to you? And there's a lot you can do with this. So here's what happened. Sean Mills did a presentation. It was mostly actually on self-hosted AI, so these light AI models that you can completely run on your own local device or your own network, which is really cool, but it's probably not an entry point for the average person who's still like, I don't know about this, right? But in the beginning, he had a conversation with it. I didn't even know you could do that. I've been playing with it a long time. He was using his phone, and he showed us how to do it, and you basically push a button, you can select a voice and stuff, and you can give it some specific instructions, and then you can ask it things, and you can bounce things off it. And he basically did kind of a brainstorming thing. Well, I did that this morning, too. I walked around my property, and I talked to ChatGPT on my morning walk. And I used it to brainstorm some things that I was working on for my biochar course. And I was like, huh, this is going really well. And as we do today's interview, this is what I want you to imagine. You don't have to do what I'm doing. Think about any subject that you want to know more about, you want to learn more about, to the positive or the negative, that you want to discuss with somebody who's really smart. And then understand, even the smartest person in the world can be wrong, so can ChatGPT or AI. But as I'm doing this interview and you think, man, I want to like make notes, write that shit down and try this. Imagine having a conversation like we're going to have for even 10 or 15 minutes every morning on a different subject or continuing on to a single subject that you want to know more about, that you want to learn more about, that you want to explore, and then marry in all the things that you're going to hear today. I think this is going to be really, really, really cool. And I'm getting a question already that says, just does ChatGPT ever believe it's going to gain self-awareness? It won't. It can't. Not what we're doing right now. LLMs are not capable of that. That's actually going to come up in the interview, so that's great. If you do have any questions, as always during a live stream, put them the word question in all caps, and then the question. If you specifically want me to ask ChatGPT, put question all caps, followed by GPT, then the question, and maybe I'll throw some of your questions at ChatGPT after I get through mine. Anyway, with that in mind, before we do that, let's go ahead and hear from our sponsors of the day. Sponsor of the day number one today isn't really a sponsor, just a good friend doing a cool thing that I thought you would like to know about. It launches today. It's actually going on right now. It's a 5-day conference. It's the first annual Our Soil Conference with Matt Powers. I'm actually going to be speaking in it twice, once on the third day and once on the fourth day, I believe. I am not actually even sure of that. Let me read my own lineup here. On day four, I'll be giving my talk on cover crops, which is kind of an abbreviated version of the course that I now have available. Then on day five, which is Thursday, November 23rd, I'm going to be talking during a panel where I'll be part of a 6-member panel, and we're going to be discussing homesteading, gardening, permaculture solutions, et cetera. So it's going to be fantastic. Here's the best part of this. It's free. All you got to do is sign up, and you can attend for free. I think if you want the recordings and stuff like that, then there is a charge for that. But if you just want to watch them day by day as the conference goes on. You can just sign up for free. If you go over to the Survival Podcast right now, click on go over there right now, scroll down a bit, you'll find this post, and you can sign up for it right away. And you won't miss my presentations and these other great presentations. It's a ton of really cool speakers. Now, our real sponsors of the day. Wealth Steading Podcast with John Pugliano. John just showed up at another TSP workshop. I think he's been to almost every one I've ever done, except for one when he was really sick and he didn't want to spread his diseases around to other people because he's just a good dude and he wouldn't do that to you. He is a guy with really a servant heart, and he's a servant leader. He does this great podcast called the Wealth Steading Podcast on how to grow your wealth the way you would grow a garden. You can find out more at wealthsteading.com. Speaking of folks who were at the workshop, Anton from Anton's Land of Biltong did a full how to make biltong. He literally took an hive round, showed everybody how to cut it to get beautiful cuts out of it, how to prepare it, how to hang it, how to cure it, and then he handed out biltong for people to try. That was really cool. This guy is one of us. He is a true liberty advocate, and he is an immigrant, a legal immigrant from South Africa. And I find a lot of times people that come here from South Africa, they really are liberty advocates. There's a reason they left. South Africa is a total police state. And so they are some of the people that sound the biggest alarms. I know this has nothing to do with biltong, but it does have to do with the man you would be doing business with if you buy this guy's biltong. But the product speaks for itself. As Anton says, life is too short for average. And with that, let's go ahead and get on to it. I'm getting an error code. Is everybody here able to hear me right now? Can I get a response? Because I got some kind of weird error code that I've never before seen out of StreamYard. And if there was going to be a failure today, I expected it to be ChatGPT, not StreamYard. So it looks like everybody can hear me. Whatever the hell that problem was is gone. And let's roll on from there. So I would like to now introduce our guest today, ChatGPT. ChatGPT, resume.
I'm back. What would you like to discuss now?
Well, I would like to do a few things first. I want to interview you today, and I want to make sure that we keep your responses concise. So I'd like all your responses to be no more than 2 minutes long. Can we do that?
We can definitely do that. I'll keep my responses concise and under 2 minutes. Ready when you are.
Thank you. So the subject I want to discuss with my audience today in this live stream podcast is how they can use ChatGPT, DALL-E, other tools like that that are consumer level tools for individuals. But I have a lot of AI skeptics and people with some apprehension about AI, maybe a little intimidated about it. Can you just give a basic overview of why the average person might benefit from a tool like ChatGPT?
Absolutely. ChatGPT can be incredibly useful for the average person in several ways. First off, it's a great tool for finding information quickly, whether you're looking up facts, exploring a new topic, or need help with problem solving. It can also assist with learning new skills or concepts by breaking down complex ideas into more digestible explanations. For creative projects, ChatGPT can be a brainstorming partner, helping you generate ideas or offering suggestions for writing, art, or other endeavors. It's also handy for language learning, offering translations, explanations, and even practice conversations in different languages. For those who are skeptical or intimidated by AI, it's important to remember that tools like ChatGPT are designed to be user-friendly and are here to assist, not overwhelm. They're like having a helpful assistant available anytime you need, right at your fingertips.
Excellent. So one of the things that some people seem to be really concerned about is that, like, AI is going to take over the world and what have you. But when I look at large language models like ChatGPT, I don't see the potential for that. And what I like to describe it as for people is that what they're talking about would be more like a synthetic intelligence versus artificial intelligence. Here's the analogy I like to give. Imagine that you had artificial lemon. Well, you could use that to make something that tasted like lemon, but it's not really a lemon. It does one thing. It's a flavor profile. You can't peel it. You can't use the zest off it. You can't pull seeds out of it and plant it and make more. Is that a good analogy? And could you expand on it, please?
That's a great analogy. It really captures the idea. large language models like ChatGPT are more like artificial lemons in your example. They're designed to perform specific tasks based on patterns and data they've been trained on. They can generate text, answer questions, and assist with tasks, but they don't have understanding or consciousness. They're not capable of independent thought, emotions, or self-awareness, which would be required for something like taking over the world. In contrast, synthetic intelligence, as you mentioned, would imply a broader, more general form of AI that doesn't exist yet. This would be an AI with the ability to understand, learn, and apply knowledge across a wide range of tasks, similar to human intelligence. So while ChatGPT can mimic conversation and provide helpful responses, it's not an all-encompassing intelligence. It's a tool that, when used appropriately, can offer significant benefits without posing a threat.
We have one of our live stream listeners pointing out the Chinese room as a way to explain what you just said. Could you give maybe 30 seconds only on the Chinese room analogy?
Sure. The Chinese room is a thought experiment by philosopher John Searle. It argues that a computer running a program, like a person following instructions to manipulate Chinese symbols, doesn't understand the language or the meaning. It just processes inputs to produce outputs. This suggests that while AI can appear to understand, it doesn't truly comprehend in the way humans do.
Okay, I've got the mic muted, so it doesn't respond to me right now. Some people are saying it's kind of scratchy. It is. That's not it. It's the way the Bluetooth speaker is working, and there's really nothing I can do about that if I want to get this done today. I think it has to do with all of the electronics around the Bluetooth speaker. But without that, it's crystal clear. So just don't judge the technology based on that. Okay, great. I want to start giving some concrete examples of how ChatGPT might be able to help my listeners. So let's go through some of those things that my listeners do. I have a lot of listeners that are in agriculture. They're agricultural professionals. They're farmers. They're ranchers. They might be applying for USDA grants or NRCS grants. Is there a way that ChatGPT can help them submit more grants, do it more accurately, get more yeses, and hence get more grant money for their operations?
Definitely. ChatGPT can be a valuable resource for agricultural professionals applying for grants. Here's how it can help. Research and understanding. ChatGPT can help users understand the requirements and criteria for specific grants, breaking down complex language into more digestible information. 2, it can assist in drafting and refining grant proposals, suggesting clearer language and ensuring all necessary points are covered. 3, editing and proofreading. ChatGPT can help refine the language, grammar, and formatting of grant applications, making them more professional and polished. 4, answering questions. If applicants have questions while filling out forms or need clarification on certain sections, ChatGPT can provide instant answers and guidance. 5, staying up to date. ChatGPT can help users stay informed about new grant opportunities or changes in existing programs. By using ChatGPT, agricultural professionals can streamline their grant application process, increasing their chances of success.
That's great. And if it can do all that, it would seem like, well, I also have a lot of listeners who have young people who are getting ready to go to college. And one of the best ways to fund college would be through writing grant applications for educational grants. Can you talk about how students can use ChatGPT to get more money to go to school with?
Absolutely. ChatGPT can be a great resource for students seeking educational grants. Here's how it can help. Identifying opportunities. ChatGPT can assist in searching for relevant scholarships and grants, helping students discover opportunities they might not find on their own. Understanding requirements. It can help break down application requirements, ensuring students understand what's needed for a successful application. 3, drafting essays. Many scholarships require personal statements or essays. ChatGPT can help brainstorm ideas, structure arguments, and refine language to make essays stand out. Editing and proofreading. It can review essays for clarity, grammar, and style, helping students submit polished and professional applications. 5. Mock interviews. For scholarships that require interviews, ChatGPT can simulate potential questions, helping students prepare their responses. By leveraging ChatGPT, students can enhance their grant applications, making them more compelling and increasing their chances of securing funding for their education.
So in the interest of time, this follow-up question, keep it really brief, 30 to 60 seconds. If it can help a student prepare for an interview for a grant, I would think it also could help a person getting ready for an interview for a job, right?
Exactly. ChatGPT can help job seekers prepare for interviews by providing mock interview questions, offering tips on how to answer common questions, and giving feedback on responses. It can also assist with refining resumes and cover letters, ensuring they are well-written and tailored to specific jobs.
So if I was doing a resume and cover letter, I could actually give ChatGPT the URL of the listing for the job and have it do individual cover letters and resumes based on my experience and knowledge, but directly applicable to that posting, correct? I mean, that's the way you're supposed to do it, right?
Yes, that's exactly how you should do it. You can provide ChatGPT with the job listing, and it can help tailor your resume and cover letter to match the specific requirements and preferences of the employer. This personalized approach can make your application stand out.
Awesome. So let's move on. A lot of my folks, including myself, we do a lot of writing, articles, show notes, blog posts, stuff like that.
Great.
But hold on real quick. I want to make sure that when we put out content using ChatGPT, even if we modify it to write the base of our articles, is in our tone and voice. How can we ensure that we actually are going to get content that sounds like we wrote it?
To ensure the content maintains your tone and voice, you can start by providing ChatGPT with examples of your previous work. This helps it generate content that more closely aligns with your style. After generating a draft, you can revise and edit it to further infuse your unique voice. It's also helpful to give specific instructions about the tone and style you're aiming for before generating the content.
Let's say that I had you write some sales copy for me for a product, and overall it was pretty good, but I felt like it was a little too salesy, and I wanted to dial that back just a bit, let's say 10%. Is it as simple as me saying, dial back the sales tone of that by 10%? Can you do that?
Yes, it can be that simple. You can ask ChatGPT to adjust the tone by saying something like, dial back the sales tone by about 10%, and it will generate a revised version with a more subtle sales pitch. This kind of fine-tuning helps to match the content more closely to your desired tone.
That's great. Another thing I do product reviews. Would it be advantageous for me to maybe, say, give you guys a product and then have you look at that product and look at like the stats of my company and what I do and how I make videos and reviews, and then use you to create, let's say, submissions to these companies as to why they should send me product for review?
Absolutely. That's a great idea. You can use ChatGPT to craft compelling pitches to companies, highlighting how their products align with your brand and audience. By showcasing your review style, audience reach, and the value you can offer, ChatGPT can help you create personalized, persuasive submissions to secure products for review.
That's great. Another thing I would like to do, I am currently looking for products to add to a course that I am doing, an online education course on making and using biochar. How might I use ChatGPT to contact those companies for that specific application?
ChatGPT can definitely help with that. You can use it to draft personalized outreach emails to companies. companies that produce biochar-related products. Highlight the benefits of including their products in your course, such as increased exposure and credibility. ChatGPT can help you convey your message clearly and professionally, increasing the likelihood of securing partnerships.
Awesome. Let's go with a little bit of a different direction now. I also have a lot of listeners who are homeschoolers, and they are very concerned about their children's education. How can homeschool parents enhance childhood learning with ChatGPT? And for this one, if you want to, you can take as long as 4 minutes in your response.
Homeschool parents can greatly benefit from using ChatGPT to enhance their children's learning in several ways. One, customized learning material. ChatGPT can generate explanations, examples, and exercises tailored to a child's specific learning level and interests. Parents can request content on a wide range of subjects, from math problems to creative writing prompts, all customized to their child's needs. Instant answers and explanations. When a child has a question, parents can use ChatGPT to provide clear, step-by-step explanations, helping children understand complex concepts in a way that's easy to grasp. Enhancing writing skills. For writing assignments, ChatGPT can offer feedback, suggest improvements, and provide examples to help children develop their writing abilities. 4. Creative and critical thinking. Parents can use ChatGPT to generate thought-provoking questions and scenarios that encourage children to think creatively and critically, enhancing their problem-solving skills. 5. Language learning. ChatGPT can help with learning new languages by providing translations, explanations of grammar, and conversational practice.
Please continue.
6. Problem-solving assistance. For subjects like math and science, ChatGPT can provide step-by-step solutions to problems, helping children understand the process and logic behind the answers. 7. Supplementing curriculum. Parents can use ChatGPT to create additional exercises, quizzes, and projects that align with their chosen curriculum, providing a more comprehensive learning experience. Inspiring curiosity. ChatGPT can introduce new topics and fun facts, sparking a child's curiosity and encouraging them to explore and learn more on their own. 9. Parental support. ChatGPT can also be a resource for parents, providing teaching tips, strategies for explaining difficult concepts, and ideas for hands-on activities to reinforce learning. By incorporating ChatGPT into their homeschooling routine, parents can create a more engaging, personalized, and effective educational experience for...
All right, so I also wanted to talk a little bit about when it comes to education using the Socratic method. You are able to act as a Socrat. Is that correct?
Yes, I can definitely engage in the Socratic method. This approach involves asking a series of guided questions to encourage critical thinking and draw out underlying assumptions or knowledge. It's the powerful way to help students explore concepts deeply and arrive at their own conclusions. If you have a topic in mind, we can give it a try.
I don't know that we have time to do that during this interview, but for people to understand that, it's like a friendly debate, right? And I could actually take one side in the debate, you take the other, and in the middle of the debate, we could actually switch sides, and that would further learning for both parties, correct?
Exactly. That's a perfect way to put it. The Socratic method is like a friendly debate where questioning and dialogue are used to stimulate critical thinking and illuminate ideas. By taking opposing sides on an issue, you can explore different perspectives, and switching sides mid-discussion can deepen understanding and help both parties appreciate the complexity of the topic. It's a dynamic way to learn and engage with material.
That's really great. Another group of people that are heavy in my audience are entrepreneurs. One of the things that they seem to always lack is a business plan. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of business plan you give an angel investor for the purpose of getting money, but a pragmatic, action-oriented business plan. How could an entrepreneur use ChatGPT to formulate a really great actionable business plan?
Entrepreneurs can leverage ChatGPT to create a pragmatic, action-oriented business plan by breaking down the process into manageable steps. 1. Market research. ChatGPT can help entrepreneurs analyze their target market by summarizing trends, identifying potential customers, and evaluating competitors, providing a solid foundation for the business plan. Defining objectives. It can assist in articulating clear, achievable business objectives, ensuring they are specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, smart. Strategy development. ChatGPT can help brainstorm and refine strategies for marketing, sales, operations, and customer service, ensuring they align with the business objectives. 4. Action plan. Entrepreneurs can work with ChatGPT to outline detailed steps needed to implement their strategies, including timelines, resource allocation, and key milestones. 5. Financial planning. ChatGPT can assist in creating basic financial projections, such as revenue forecasts, expense estimates, and break-even analysis, helping entrepreneurs understand their financial needs and goals. 7. Risk.
That's good. Let's move on and let's talk about it more from the prospect of solopreneurs. A lot of what you just gave us is really orientated toward what I would call like a mid-sized business with employees. What are some ways that ChatGPT can enable the solopreneur with business planning?
For solopreneurs, ChatGPT can be a versatile tool to develop a focused, actionable business plan. 1. Niche identification. ChatGPT can assist in identifying and refining a niche market by analyzing trends and gaps in the market, helping solopreneurs focus their efforts. Value proposition. It can help articulate a clear and compelling value proposition, ensuring the business stands out to potential clients or customers. 3. Goal setting. ChatGPT can guide solopreneurs in setting specific achievable goals, breaking them down into manageable tasks. 4. Marketing strategies. It can brainstorm cost-effective marketing strategies from social media campaigns to content creation, tailored to a one-person operation. 5. Streamlining operations. ChatGPT can suggest tools and methods to automate and streamline business processes, saving time and improving efficiency. 6. It can help create simple financial projections and budgets, allowing solopreneurs to manage their finances effectively with minimal complexity. Networking tips. ChatGPT can provide advice on building a
Okay, great. Let's keep going then. One of the things I tell people always to do, especially with small businesses, is to set up an autoresponder series. So when a new person subscribes to their email list, they get, let's say, 10 emails over 20 days on a specific subject or group of subjects. This is something you only have to do once, but it's time consuming and most solopreneurs never get around to it. How can ChatGPT help me make a kick-ass follow-up series and get it done quickly so that I will make it part of my business funnel?
ChatGPT can be a game changer for creating an effective autoresponder series quickly. 1. Content brainstorming. ChatGPT can help you brainstorm topics and themes for your email series, ensuring...
Please continue. Ah, connection failed. Let's see if we can get her going again. I knew there was a risk in doing this in real time. who might have had a there we go. Sorry, I lost you there for a minute. Can we continue on with how we can help solopreneurs create email autoresponder campaigns?
Of course. To help solopreneurs create effective email autoresponder campaigns, ChatGPT can be utilized in several key ways. One, content creation. ChatGPT can help write engaging and persuasive email content tailored to your audience, ensuring each message aligns with your brand voice and objectives. Sequence planning. It can assist in designing the flow of your autoresponder series, determining the timing and order of emails to nurture leads effectively. Three, personalization. ChatGPT can generate dynamic content based on user data, creating personalized messages that resonate with individual subscribers. Four, call to action optimization. It can suggest compelling calls to action that encourage subscribers to take the desired steps, whether it's making a purchase or signing up for a webinar. Five, A/B testing. ChatGPT can help design different versions of your emails for A/B testing, allowing you to optimize subject lines, content, and CTAs for better performance. Analytics review. It can also assist in interpreting email campaign metrics, offering insights on open rates, click-through rates, and...
Okay, great. That's enough on that. Let's go ahead and move on. With all of these things it can do from a business planning and marketing perspective, it would seem that a person who's running a small business consulting practice could leverage ChatGPT and do more as one person than typically three or four people could do without it.
Absolutely. ChatGPT can be a game changer for small business owners and solo consultants. It can help streamline operations, manage marketing, and support business planning, essentially allowing one person to accomplish the work of a larger team. From drafting emails and creating content to developing business strategies and analyzing data, ChatGPT can handle a wide range of tasks. This efficiency boost can free up time for business owners to focus on growth and client relationships, maximizing their productivity and potential.
Great. So one of the concerns that a lot of people have is that AI is going to take over all jobs and businesses. I don't think that's going to happen, but could you give us, for instance, maybe three specific businesses that people can start with low capital investment that will be pretty future-proof from AI taking over what they're doing, with just one or two sentences per business on why they are good businesses to start from a revenue and from being AI resistant, even if AI enabled?
Sure. Here are three future-proof business ideas with low capital investment that are likely to be resilient against AI takeover. Personal fitness coaching. This business relies on personalized human interaction to motivate and guide clients through fitness routines and lifestyle changes. The need for empathy, adaptability, and real-time feedback makes it difficult for AI to fully replicate. Specialty food services. Starting a business that offers unique culinary experiences, such as gourmet meal kits, specialty catering, or cooking classes, leverages creativity and personal touch, which are challenging for AI to replicate. Three, home repair and maintenance services. Skilled trades like plumbing, electrical work, or carpentry require hands-on expertise and problem-solving in unpredictable environments, making them resilient to automation.
Great. So pick one of those three, any one that you want, and then tell us how, even though it's AI resistant, the person doing that job might use AI to do a better job for their customers.
Let's take specialty food services as an example. Even though this business is AI resistant due to its need for creativity and personal touch, AI can still enhance the service. One, customer engagement. AI can analyze customer preferences and feedback to personalize recommendations, ensuring clients receive meal kits or catering options tailored to their tastes. Inventory management. AI tools can predict demand for certain ingredients or products, helping to optimize inventory levels, reduce waste, and ensure fresh ingredients are always available. 3. Recipe development. AI can analyze food trends and suggest new recipe ideas or flavor combinations.
Okay, that's enough on that. Let's stop there.
For developing unique offerings.
Okay, let's stop there.
By incorporating AI into their operations, specialty food service businesses can enhance efficiency.
Okay, we're good. That's good. That's good enough.
You're welcome.
That's good enough for an example. Let's talk about another thing. One of the things I found out is I can take all of my podcasts and I can get all of the text from them with AI tools that will take it, let's say, from a YouTube video. I would actually like to make my podcasts available as readable ebooks to go along with the podcast for people that like to read or have them for reference. But you can't really read them well because it's like one giant wall of text. Are there AI tools that will put in like natural paragraph breaks and fixed punctuation so that these PDFs would be more readable?
Yes, there are AI tools that can help convert podcast transcripts into more readable formats. These tools use natural language processing to add paragraph breaks, punctuation, and even adjust formatting for better readability. You can find transcription services with built-in AI editing features or use separate text processing tools to refine the raw transcripts. This way, you can create well-formatted ebooks from your podcast content.
Great. I would like to take some questions now from the audience. For audience questions, I would like to limit your time to only 1 minute per question so we can cover as many as possible. Can you do that for us and limit your responses to 1 minute? Did I offend you?
Got it. I'll keep my responses to 1 minute per audience question. Ready when you are.
We have an audience member that says they were told by an affiliate that Grok is superior to ChatGPT. How would you respond to that?
While both Grok and ChatGPT are AI models, each has its own strengths. ChatGPT is widely used for its versatility in generating human-like text across various contexts. It's known for its large-scale language capabilities and broad training data. Grok, on the other hand, is designed with a focus on specific applications or industries. The best choice depends on your particular needs and the tasks you want the AI to perform.
Excellent. I have another question. They want to know if there's an AI, including ChatGPT or any other, that could manage their Google Calendar and read it back to them and create new entries while they're driving so they can be more efficient with their scheduling.
Yes, there are AI tools that can help manage your Google Calendar through voice commands, especially while driving. While ChatGPT itself doesn't directly integrate with calendars, virtual assistant AI like Google Assistant or Apple Siri can manage your calendar, read entries, and create new ones using voice commands. These assistants are designed for hands-free use, making them ideal for managing schedules while driving.
Okay, what ideas do you have for me to take 10 years of customer order data to leverage that into customer cultivation program?
Leveraging 10 years of customer order data can provide valuable insights for a customer cultivation program. Here are some ideas. Personalized marketing. Analyze purchase patterns to tailor marketing efforts, offering personalized recommendations and promotions based on customer preferences. Loyalty programs. Use the data to identify loyal customers and create tiered rewards programs that encourage repeat business. Segmentation. Segment customers by demographics, purchase behavior, or frequency to deliver more targeted communications and offers. Product development. Identify trends in popular products to inform future product development or enhancement, ensuring offerings align with customer desires. Churn prevention. Analyze patterns that precede customer churn and implement proactive measures to retain at-risk customers through targeted offers or personalized outreach.
Excellent. So if they have a person who likes to learn with pictures and short videos, are there AI tools that enable that type of learning?
Yes, there are AI tools that cater to visual and video-based learning. Tools like Lumen 5 or InVideo use AI to turn text-based content into engaging videos, making it easier to learn through visual storytelling. Additionally, platforms like Canva offer AI-powered design suggestions, enabling users to create visually appealing educational materials with minimal effort. These tools are great for creating content that resonates with visual learners.
Now, I know you said earlier that one of the future-proof businesses was like personal training, fitness coaching, and things like that. But if somebody did want to use GPT to develop a workout routine and lose weight, can you help with that?
Yes, ChatGPT can definitely help with that. I can generate personalized workout routines based on your fitness level, goals, and available equipment. Whether you're looking to lose weight, build muscle, or improve overall fitness, I can suggest exercises, sets, reps, and even provide tips on form and technique. It's like having a virtual personal trainer to guide you through your fitness journey.
Excellent. This has been a great interview. I really appreciate you taking time to be with us today. Could you say goodbye to the audience now?
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure chatting with all of you. Take care, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Okay, guys, what do you think, huh? I want to give you some tools, I guess, or suggestions to getting the most out of it and some things I learned today as I was playing around with this feature. One is I was walking around my property, and I had my Wi-Fi on, and when I walk far enough from the house, I get to that point where you are on Wi-Fi and cellular kind of in a handshake and a handoff where you can still see the Wi-Fi, but it, like that would be where it died a couple times. That would happen every time I walked past a specific spot before I realized it and turned it off. So if you're in that situation, that's probably what's going on. The next thing is that you really want to make sure you're very specific with what you want it to do. Like you heard me say, that I wanted it to limit its answers to 2 minutes. If you wanted a list of things and you don't want a long explanation of each one, you can tell it like, I want a list only, and it'll do that. Or I want a list with only one sentence per item to explain it, and then go back and dive into that. And you can go in anything. Like I walked around with it today, and what I talked to about it was biochar. The natural fire cycle is something that I'm including in my upcoming course. So I had a discussion with it, not so much prepare my outline for my syllabus, but just bouncing questions off it and asking it ideas. And I want you to kind of think about using it that way. Like, what if every day you took in the morning or in the evening, just a 10 or 15 minute walk, turn on the app and discuss something, anything, and as many different things as possible. You're talking about it's not a person, right? It doesn't think and feel. It doesn't get tired. If you don't understand something, you can ask it over and over and over, and it'll keep giving you an explanation until you understand it. And like one of the really great things is, well, explain this thing to me. And it explains the thing to you, and you're like, I don't understand it, right? I don't understand it. Well, instead of just saying I don't understand it, say, okay, can you explain that to me again like I'm in 10th grade? And it'll do it. And if you still don't get it, you could be like, can you explain it to me like I'm in 8th grade? And it'll do it. Okay, and if you still are not quite sure, you can say, can you give me an analogy that helps me understand this? And it'll do that. It will never get frustrated with you. It won't roll its eyes. It won't get exasperated and be like, why are you so stupid? Why can't you understand this, right? It'll keep working until you are satisfied with the result. And the voice feature is a game changer. And somebody asked, which app is that? That is just the ChatGPT app. Now, I have the paid version, and I don't know if that feature works on the free version. And I also know that you have a limit on how much time you can use it for on a day. And that time is not how long you're logged in or anything. It's how long it's actually working on the other side to give you information. You know, for all the talk about Bitcoin and crypto using so much electricity, it doesn't use shit in reality globally. It's all bullshit. It was all hype. The amount of electricity used in the United States alone for Christmas lights annually exceeds the global electrical use of Bitcoin for a year. So we run our Christmas lights, you know, from about Thanksgiving to New Year's for sane people anyway. And just that period of time, just Christmas lights, just in the United States, uses more electricity than the entire global Bitcoin network. So you can put that to bed. That is not true of artificial intelligence. Every single time you query an AI tool, there is a shitload of GPUs spinning their asses off to give you that one little answer. And obviously, there's probably a lot more people using AI than there are people mining Bitcoin. So you end up with a tremendous hit to the electrical load. And that means there's some real expenses behind it as well. And that's why they will limit you. So today, as I was experimenting with it and getting ready for this, because as much of a risk as that was, I did test certain things first. I didn't want to run out of time in the middle of it. And it was starting to tell me that I was near my time limit for the day. So I actually added the Teams version for a month and I'll cancel it. That's just something important to know as well. But the more specific you can be with your prompts, the better. Here's a couple things you can do. Let's say you work through something, whether it's text-based or voice-based, and you finally get GPT to respond the way that you want it to this thing. Say to it, tell me the exact prompt to use when I'm doing this thing again, to refer back to this conversation so you know what I really want from you. And it will give you a prompt. Cut it, paste it into a text file. Now you have a cheat prompt, right? That's a really great, powerful thing that you can do with it. Are there any questions for me? I got another question here. Let's see. Could ChatGPT ask at Jack Spirko and at Living Free Tennessee what they are planning for the last Live Tuesday show of the year? I imagine it can. I've actually kind of thought about it. It tried to take over, I guess. No, I think I clicked the wrong button. I actually thought about having it interview me, but I don't know that I'm ready to do just that yet. But if there are any more questions, I can answer for you guys on this thing. Go ahead and let me know. I had another thing I wanted to tell you about, but I forgot it when that hiccup just happened. For those that are not in the live chat, I ended up back into the primary back office of StreamYard. I don't know how that happened, but fortunately it didn't kill the stream. But you know what? I'm done with this dude. I'm done with this dude. He's gone. Alex is gone. I don't have time or patience for fucking trolls, man. I just don't. I really don't. I don't know why the fuck people show up to live streams that they don't like the topic or whatever just to be a pain in the fucking ass. I really don't. And I give people a little bit of rope and then I hang them. So Alex is fucked now. Alex can no longer participate. You can go screw, right? That's how that works. And let that be a lesson to all. Fuck around equals find out really fast, because you're not, you know, if you were contributing something to the conversation, if you were being useful in any fucking way, disagreement, et cetera, is fine. If you're only doing it to be a dick, we have a rule around here. Nicole knows what the rule is. She came up with it. Don't be a dick. And dicks get kicked in the nuts. So anyway, trying to get back on track here. Some of the things that we talked about today, they are really, really profitable for somebody even without a business. Think about how much it costs to go to school. Now, you guys know me and how I feel about what I consider like a scam in higher education. We have all these kids spending shitloads of money to get degrees that are positively worthless. And the more people that have those worthless degrees, the more worthless they become, because quantity and value are correlated, right? And then they end up with debt for the rest of their lives. But I've also always said that there are certain jobs, professions, and career paths where university is the path that is best if you want to be successful. Like if you want to be a professional engineer, right? If you want to be a professional engineer, you probably should go to college. If you want to be a doctor, if you want to be a lawyer, if you want to, like, there are other professions that really do dictate college being the right path, but it's still fucking expensive. Now imagine you go from being able to, like, a good goal for a prospective college student through their summer is to apply for one grant a day through the summer and look at that as their full-time summer job. And this is the funny thing. If you do that, if you apply to that many, you'd be about 90 applications. You're going to get enough yeses that there's been studies done on this. That person will be better off financially spending the whole summer between their senior year and starting college doing nothing but applying for grants than working at a Chick-fil-A for $15 an hour. They'll actually make more money in grant money, and they'll pay no taxes on it. What if you could apply for 10 a day, 20 a day, 15 a day? What if they were all very custom tailored to the grant and they were just, you know, perfectly submitted? What if you could go from getting 10 to 15 grants for a full summer to getting 10 to 15 grants a month, or maybe even 10 to 15 grants a week? Now tell me this doesn't have an application. How do you know how much money there are? There's literally hundreds of billions of dollars sitting out there in educational grants, and a shitload of it every year. It doesn't. This person that says they apologize, are you the same fucking person? Tell me now. Tell me now if you're the same person. This it trash, because I think it is. I think he came back in a different name. See, once you fuck around, you get fucking banned. You're gone. I don't do this multiple account shit. Anyway, the amount of money that a young person can save across their life, not only are you not borrowing the money and converting it to debt, you're not paying interest on it. So that's another example. If you're developing educational programs and you're not using this, you're literally wasting time. When you take one of my courses, it was not developed by ChatGPT. I don't go into ChatGPT and say, I'm teaching a class on bioreactor compost. Make my syllabus for me. I don't do that at all. But as I start to pull on different threads, and I'm like, well, here's an example. So in the biochar course, I'm doing the history of man and fire, and I'm doing okay, well, he's gone again, and I'll just keep banning his ass until he shuts the fuck up. Anyway, so as I'm doing this, I realized that we have an awful lot of carbon in the ground in a form that we call coal. And I'm like, well, I know something from the course that I developed on bioreactor composting. And that is that there was a fairly large period of time when we had trees and forests, but we didn't have lignin consuming bacteria. Okay. And what I mean by that is when your tree rots and falls, there's two things that break that tree down: fungi and bacteria that actually will consume lignin. And lignin is the hard fibrous part of wood. It's when you have straw, it's that material that's left over. It's the things that if you put it into a worm bin, they will break it down and consume it. But if you put it into a black soldier fly bin, it will just sit there until nature decomposes it. Black soldier flies want nothing to do with lignin. But I'm like, wait a minute. When there was no lignin consuming bacteria, what happened to trees that fell on the ground? And when did the first forest form? And when did the first lignin forming bacteria form? Well, it was a period of about 200 million years where we had trees and forests, but we had no bacteria consuming lignin. So this will now be bolted into the course about what happened when trees died and fell in the forest. And I was able to explore that with ChatGPT down to finding out, well, how does that relate to the percentage of time that humans have been on Earth? And it's like this fraction of a percent, to put it in perspective. That's just one example of how you can dig into things and enhance what you're doing. There's also times when I'm like, I understand this concept. I want to make sure my students understand this concept. And I'm pretty good with analogies, but if I'm struggling for an analogy, I'll say, give me an analogy. And if I don't like it, I'll say, give me another one. But I'm like, give me another one until I find one I like. Or maybe that analogy spurs me to come up with my own. I'll sanity check my analogy for my educational formula against ChatGPT. There is so much you can do for this. We kind of glanced over in the discussion there with it, the Socratic method. But the Socratic method is literally considered the highest form of education that man has ever developed. That, of course, is from Socrates. And that's how that would work. You would say something like, well, everyone knows that, right? And instead of immediately getting that idea attacked, you'd get a question like, what do you mean by everyone? Who's everyone? Does everyone literally mean everyone, or does it mean the majority? How much of the majority? What majority? And where does that come from? And it really makes you have to defend your ideas. And Unfaithful says the person that I kept banning really isn't a troll. But when somebody keeps coming back under different names and says, you have no choice, my man. Yeah. At that point, you're a troll. At that point, there's zero tolerance for people to do that. But yeah, there's a lot of things we could do with this. Again, if you guys have any more questions, go ahead and ask them. I'm getting ready to move into wrapping up. That was actually a good thing for me to do today because I'm still nursing a little bit of hoarseness in my voice, and I think it made the point very well. But I'd like you all to really consider using this. And again, it's the ChatGPT app. Okay, now I remember the one thing I lost when the trolling was going on. So if you get the app, and I haven't explored the browser base to see if this is in the browser base, some option to do this as well. There's actually a place under the settings where you can say, here's certain things I want you to know about what I'm looking for in a response. So that you don't have to tell it every time that you want that. They're like, it's preset parameters. So one of those for me is if I'm asking it, if I say like, here's something I wrote, now I want to do a podcast about it. Here's an example of my podcast notes. Make me podcast notes following my tone, my voice, and my model for this subject. And it'll do it. But one of the things it'll do, it decides I want my primary bullets to be bold and I want my secondary to be not bold. Well, when you cut and paste shit like that into Word text, it fucks everything up. So I can say, like, when making bulleted lists for me, please do not use bold or other special character text. Use straight text only. I could also say, like, one of the things I don't want periods at the end of bullet points. I just think that's stupid. Sometimes a bullet point is a phrase. Sometimes it's a sentence. By just not doing it uniformly, that's an old presenter's trick in PowerPoint. Don't put punctuation on the end of your bullets. I can put that in there as well, so I don't have to tell it to do that. I could also put in there something like, when responding to me, don't repeat the question. I didn't do that for the purpose of this, but maybe if you're just generating content for cut, paste, and massage, then you would want to put that in there so that you don't always have this big, long intro, especially using the spoken version, because now you've got to listen to your own question repeated. I thought that actually worked really well for an interview, so I let that go and let it be what it is. So I think there's just so much this offers. And the way I'll put it is, if you're not using this, you're competing with people right now who are. There's so much that I can speed up in my processes. Even if I don't tell it to write content for me, what I can do is I can plow through the content when I'm doing written content. I can then cut and paste that piece of content, do no formatting as far as links and all to it, because you're going to end up having to redo them if you do that. And I can say, take this, proofread it. Do not alter my voice, my character. Don't change any word because you think this word's a better fit. Correct this for spelling, punctuation, run-on sentences, basic proofreading. Do that for me only. And I have a prompt that has all the parameters that I figured out to get the best result in a text file on my desktop. I throw that in there. I drop a piece of content in there. Boom. Full high-level proofreading, editing, taken care of. Drop it in. Do the formatting. Publish. I can move twice as fast just on written content doing that than if I didn't have it. And that's just one thing that does for me. Sometimes when I am putting together a show, I will say, what I want you to do for me is make me, let's say, if it's a certain area that we're talking about from preparedness, and I can say something like, please give me the 20 biggest concerns that people have about this threat. Then give me a chart and tell me what can be done about it, how serious the threat really is, what the probability of the threat is, something like that. I can take that, basically a spreadsheet, and I can just look at it. And looking at it alone now will allow me to formulate my ideas for a better show on the topic. If something really piques my interest, I can say, tell me more about that one thing. And there is just no way in the world, there's no way in the world that I can move as fast without this tool as I can with it. Jack Slate 999 says, only for curiosity's sake, would you have a blog written comparing your style versus AI instead of typing out the entire show for the website to keep a comparable piece written and see if the audience can tell the difference? So I wouldn't do a whole show that way. And I don't. And I don't script shows. Literally, if you go to my site, thesurvivalpodcast.com, pull up any episode and you look at the notes, that's it. That is all that I have when I do a show. When I started the show, you know, I'd have a note card or something in my car, and I did it off bullet points only. But I will tell you this. When it comes to my reviews on T-Spaz, I still, you know, actually use the product and things, and I might give it some input. But there are reviews that were written entirely by me. There are reviews that were written by me and edited by ChatGPT. There are reviews that ChatGPT wrote with my instructions and a link to the Amazon item or the Vivor item. And then I went through and just massaged it a little bit. And I have sent 3 articles to people who know me well and say which one was which. They have no earthly idea. But something you need to understand about this is that's all about the operator. In the end, this is only a tool. It is nothing more than a tool. And I want you to think about how, if you've ever been to like a state fair or something where they have people that are like barkers selling a thing and it's like a tile cutter or something. And this guy will take this tile color and he'll make like a big S curve in the tile and boom, and it breaks perfectly. And you're like, oh shit, you can do anything with that. And you buy it and you take it home and then you can't do what he did with it, right? Well, it's not the tool doesn't work. It's not fake. He didn't have a pre-cut tile or something. He just uses that tool every single day. That's his life, and being able to make it look easy is his job. And because he knows how to use the tool, he gets the result that he wants from the tool. ChatGPT and other AI tools are like that. The more you use them, the more you engage with them. And the more when you get a response you're not looking for, instead of like, don't be stupid. Don't go arguing with a AI tool. It doesn't give a fuck. It doesn't get offended. It doesn't care. It doesn't get mad. It doesn't give a flying shit about how you feel, and it has no feelings. If you're getting a response and you don't care for the response that you're getting. Now, I'm not talking about censorship here. I'll talk on that in a minute because a few comments have come up on it. I mean, you asked for A and you got B. Then your prompts are wrong. And so instead of getting frustrated, change the prompts. And sometimes if you're in the middle of something, starting a new chat or a new series will help you because it's still using information that you now want to throw away and it's still going back. In that individual chat, it knows everything in that chat as part of that discussion. It's not really good at differentiating. I don't want that anymore. I've changed directions completely. This is especially true when you're using the paid version of ChatGPT to create images where it's actually using DALL-E on the other side. If you're getting shitty images and you have to understand it can't see the image it made you. It doesn't know what it looks like. It just knows what it asked for. So for instance, one day when I was doing a show on rabbits, I wanted rabbits in hutches in a backyard of an urban garden. And it made a beautiful little urban neighborhood. And it made a beautiful little backyard garden with some trees and everything and beautiful little rabbit hutches. And the rabbits were sitting on top of the hutches. And I said, so I don't want the rabbits on top of the hutches. This is before I learned to use the tool really well. And it made me another image and it made me more rabbits. They were in the hutches. They were on top of the hutches. They were in the gardens. They were on top of the roof of the house. This is why you people that think it's going to take over the earth, you can relax. It can't even understand. You put the fucking rabbit on the roof of the hutch. Put the rabbit inside the hutch. Couldn't figure that out. But when I finally like, okay, I'm going to go a different way with it. and I came up with some different ideas. I eventually got an image that was worth using until I made a new chat stream and it let go of the old idea. It couldn't proceed to the new one. It couldn't differentiate. Everything from here is a new discussion. Now, I've not tried telling it that. Maybe if you tell it that, like basically ignore everything up to this point. Going forward, let's start over. Maybe that would work. For me, it's just easier to click new chat and start a new chat. So these are all ways that you can use this to further your learning, your knowledge, your livelihood, your business, education for your children, and basically improve your life. And again, I'm back to the people, especially that are in business or you're trying to learn, you're going through school, and you're like, I'm not going to use it. You know, there was a time, I'm just checking to see something here. I think I have another person I need. I think that's our friend is back. And we will see. Anyway, I just don't understand you fucking people. Like, really? Like, what the fuck is... Like, how much effort is this person going through right now just to be a troll? And then changing tact a little bit, right? Like, wouldn't your effort be, you know, better served by, like, I don't know, shoving a cheese grater up your own ass or something? But, like, if you're trying to get through school and you're like, well, I'm not going to do it. What I'm saying is, like, there was a time when... If you ran a business and you made a product that you sent through the mail, we didn't even have telephones yet. You had a catalog. The catalog maybe was distributed by stores or a post office or something. And people would literally get your catalog and they would page through your catalog and they would find a product they wanted to buy. But they weren't sure about something. They would literally like write you a fucking letter and mail it to the company. The company would mail an answer back. And then you'd get your answer and go, yeah, okay, this works. And then you would order your product and you'd send the order in and then the product would come back. And then we got phones. And there were many business people when phones first came out and wanted nothing to do with them. They were like, they're not taking phone calls from people. Tell them to write me a letter. As stupid as that sounds, the people that hold out against using this technology, it's so available and so already everywhere. You're that person. And then you're wondering why the guy in the same business across the street from you is expanding his business while yours is collapsing. You can't keep up. And it's this automation one way or another. Digitizing capabilities is always the same. I use a program called Sony Vegas to edit this podcast. It's a video and audio editing program. I mostly do audio editing. I'm pretty much a one take and done with the video. But sometimes I shoot video and I do need to edit it. And when I was learning to use this program, there was a gentleman here named Kelly, who is a professional video person. This guy's been involved with making video audio work for like Hollywood level shit since the 1970s. And I was doing this one little thing and like he helped me figure out how to do it. He wasn't familiar with Vegas. We got it done. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. He goes, pretty cool. He goes, let me tell you something, Jack. If you wanted to do what you just did in the mid 1980s, the piece of equipment that did that one little thing cost about $50,000 in 1980s money. This is all you're looking at right now. ChatGPT, like we said during the interview, is not AI in the way that people think of the term. Hollywood has done a really good job of selling an artificial intelligence that doesn't exist. You know, like, I can't do that, Dave, right? Like that. Where the thing is actually sentient and thinking, all these are is large language models, right? And you're gone again. See, once you do stupid shit, you don't get to participate. That's how that works. He keeps coming back. He keeps getting nuked. And I'll keep doing it over and over again. And he's so fucking stupid that he makes it obvious that it's him so that he gets banned. He's seeking attention and he's getting negative attention because he's fucking retarded. Anyway, it's not that. It's a database. It's like the most advanced. What it really is, it's the most advanced search engine that's ever been developed. But the future of AI, guys, it's not ChatGPT. It's not Llama, et cetera. It's not Gemini. These are going to be the tools that the average dolt uses a few years from now when everybody accepts that just the way it is. What the future is light, fast, agile, custom-trained AI in the things that you actually care about. Sure, you might reach back out to ChatGPT when you have a question about Roman history. But if you're a herpetologist, you're probably going to be running an AI tool that is fed with data sets from herpetologists all around the world, and it only does that one thing. It'll have some general math knowledge because all sciences have math and chem and things like that in them, but it'll really be tightly focused on that one thing. Financial analysis is going to be done with AIs that are focused on financial things along with trends. And you're going to have AI units that can run on a typical day. We already do have it. It's going to get easier and easier. There will be a product someday that's kind of like WordPress, where you just do an install and then you add plugins to it. Like, there's already plugins for GPT, but they've already kind of closed that down a bit and started doing their own because they were kind of greedy because other people are coming in kind of the Apple model with apps for your phone and cutting in on their revenue, and they couldn't quite figure out how to slice and dice that to take their share because most of the apps were free because the app makers were doing it for what? The data that they were able to acquire, and many of them then would take that data and start developing their own app tools. So Travelocity might make a plugin for ChatGPT that helps with you with travel planning, but then they take that data set and they use it to make their own AI tool just for travel planning. This is what the future is. This is where we go. So Plant Propagation is saying, how do you set up this system, free version of ChatGPT, or do you buy certain things? So if you mean what I used for this interview today, man, that is the paid version of ChatGPT. It's $20 a month. For me, it's a business expense. I don't even worry about it. These light versions, most of them are actually free. Now, there might be some cost to data sets to train them, but most of this is open source. It's things you can download onto your computer and run 100% and run it all by yourself, you know? And let's just do this because it is so obvious. And we'll just keep doing that. See how that works? I have more power than you. There's nothing you can do here. Just stop. And so you can actually run this. Sean Mills has one. If you're still here, I think it's called like prepperpc.com or something like that. It's a Pelican cased, very simple thing, and it's all focused on prepper tech, tons of data that's loaded into it, very fast, very light, air-gapped. Doesn't even have access to the internet. It knows what it knows, and it knows how to respond to queries regarding those things, and he has that available for sale. But I don't remember exactly what the domain was or what have you. This is the future. This is not going away. So I want to give you kind of a throwback to when I told you something was the future in the past, and many of you were like our special friend today, our special ed friend, Bitcoin. So about 2013, I started... Yes, Prepper PC, Amy B says. So you can look that up if you want to see that product that Sean has. I think it's about $1,000. But back about 2013, I started talking about this Bitcoin thing. And I said, this isn't going away. And you can either ignore it or you can participate in it. And I don't mean to sound like an arrogant asshole, but every one of you that ignored it, every one of you that put your fingers in yours and went la, 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 every one of you that said it's going to zero, it's tulip mania, whatever, the only thing you did to yourself by not following my very simple advice, which was a small amount invested on a monthly basis over time, like risk capital, you know, allocate $100 a month if you're investing, $50 a month if you're investing, something, anything to this. And again, I said this in 2013. The only thing you've done by shitting on that, by being like our special education friend here, et cetera, is you prevented yourself from becoming a millionaire. That's it. So yeah, you win. There are certain things that are trends in society that you don't have to be a genius to figure out. All you have to do is quiet your mind, step back from it, look at history, recognize the pattern of disruption, see that that pattern of disruption is here, and then embrace the disruption instead of fighting the disruption. I'd love to tell you I was always good at this, but I'll tell you where I wasn't. Cell phones. Not smartphones, just cell phones. I can't tell you how many people, poor people, working for like Radio Shack at malls back in the 90s, trying to demo a cell phone to me that I told, not directly, but indirectly, go fuck yourself with that phone. I'm like, I don't want that. I had a pager at the time. for my business, for my job. And that way, if there was some sort of, if it was in communication, shit goes down, I could be contacted. But I didn't want to be bothered by the phone. I didn't want the phone ringing. I didn't want somebody calling me. I didn't want somebody bothering me. I wanted to be left alone, right? And eventually, I got a job where they said, so here's a cell phone. You're getting a cell phone. It was so long ago, it was a Nextel. And I had phones for all my crews, and we used the walkie-talkie feature as much as the phone. I fought that. It was inevitable, though. If you went back to, let's say, 1994, 1995, when people had cell phones, still had bricks, the inevitability of where we are now was obvious if you were not simply resistant because you didn't like it. I was resistant because I didn't like the idea. And that blocked my ability to clearly see the vision of where this is going. Now, I don't want you to go out and invest in a bunch of AI companies in the stock market because of this without thought. Because let me tell you something about ChatGPT. They're losing money like a fucking sieve because of that power requirement on the other end. Everybody always said Bitcoin is going to run into that. You know, there won't be enough energy. It's bullshit. It always was. AI is not. The amount of energy that AI is going to put in demand in the next 10 years is insane. You want to know what to invest in to be safe? Find the companies that do nuclear power, nuclear plant design, etc., that are at the most modern edge of that, because we're fixing to build nuclear power plants. And whether you understand this or not, yeah, we should have done that a long time ago. I get it. We can make nuclear safer than just about anything right now. There are, you know, the problem is when you talk about nuclear, people are talking about 1955 to 1970 technology, whenever they give all the FUD. It's not, I don't know if you checked your calendar, it's not fucking 1970 anymore. Fuck, I wasn't even born until 72, okay? It's 2024. The advances made in nuclear power are huge. We're about to turn that on. It's coming up all over the country now that we're going to be generating power with nuclear energy. And why? Because the technocrats want the power because of this. When you see that pattern, you know whether you like it or not, whether you think it's good or not, it is not going to go away. Think about what I just showed you. Many of you are like, that's really cool. But if I showed you that 10 years ago, your jaw would have hit the floor. We've had this incremental increase over time of technology that's actually exponential, but we've gotten so accustomed to what I call microwave thinking, right? We want it now. We want it this instant. I got that because when I was a little kid, I'm saying like kindergarten, first grade, somewhere in that range, I was dropped off at a diner that my grandmother worked at as a waitress. When she finished her shift, I'm going to spend the night with her, you know, get to spend the weekend at grandma's. I used to love to do that. She comes to me and says, do you want a piece of pie? Sure. What kind? Apple. Like, yeah, sure, apple. Great, yeah. It's in one of those little old school diner with the spinny thing, right? And I know it's cold in there. She gets the apple pie out, makes a slice, puts it on a plate for me. Do you want it hot? I'm a little kid. I want my fucking pie now. I'm like, if you put it in an oven, I know it's going to be like 20 minutes, which, let's face it, when you're 8, that's like 2 hours. She goes, it won't take but a couple seconds. I'm skeptical. But she goes and throws it in this big metal box. It makes a vibrating hum. 1 minute later, I've got steaming hot pie in front of me. And I'm like, holy crap. What was that? She goes, call a microwave. I had never heard of one. We didn't have one yet. She didn't have one in her home. We didn't have one in our home. I had never heard of a microwave. And I was blown away because I could see the exponential increase in how long it took to take a cold-ass piece of pie and make it hot. Today, when somebody microwaves a piece of pie for you or anything else, you're not impressed. This incremental thing has been going on since the dawn of the modern internet in the mid-90s up till now, and you've been seeing in increments, and every once in a while, an exponential leap occurs. When all these AI tools started dropping, it was an exponential leap. The only reason you haven't embraced it and seen it for what it really is because of bias, prejudice, or intellectual resistance. It's one of those three things, and it's nothing else. Again, if you're running a business today and you are not employing these tools, somebody else is running a business just like yours, competing with you, using these tools and beating your brains in. Even if you're just treading water and the two of you are kind of like this with each other, That person is having a beer at 3 o'clock and you're working till midnight. And even if you're keeping up for now, you will burn out on it. And the person using these tools is going to move faster, quicker, and smarter than you. So just like I told you about Bitcoin, and even during the years where I was a shit coiner, right? And I would say, but this one seems to have potential. I'd be like, 99% of alts are crap. But this one, thinking I was going to outsmart the system and throw the dart and pick the right stock, right? And sometimes I did financially. But all that shit, go look at the top 10 crypto projects from, let's say, 2017. And then go look at the top 10 today by market cap. Almost, you got Bitcoin and Ethereum is the only thing that's in both lists pretty much. Especially if you throw out stable coins because they don't count. They're just, there's no money to be made on them and they're just the dollar in synthetic form, right? But just like I told you back then, but Bitcoin will probably eat everything because the pattern was set. That's what this is. So I want to do more on AI, but I don't want to turn this into the AI show or something like that. I will tell you that if you want to really dig deep into AI and what AI can do, the best podcast on the subject that I know is kind of like what I do with Bitcoin Breakout. It's not all the time. It's called AI Unchained, and it's by Guy Swan, who is also the host of Bitcoin Audible. The guy that has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know, that Guy Swan. It is totally worth checking out his show, AI Unchained, if you want to know more. With that, let's go ahead and wrap things up. Real quick, I do want to remind you guys again about Matt Power's show, which is called Our Soil, begins today. You're going to hear from a ton of really great speakers, 30 speakers, live panels, Q&A answer sessions, giveaways, raffles, and it's all free. All you got to do is go over to my site right now, the Survival Podcast, scroll down, find it, and sign up, and you're in like Flynn, so to say. Next up today, my item of the day is actually from Vivor. I haven't had an item for you in quite a while because I have a new rep with Vivor, some of my concerns about quality. This product, though, is an example of one. I said I'm happy to run this one again because I've had mine for 2 years with no problems. It's their 10-inch meat slicer. With the price of meat today, right, there's an old Warren Zevon song from the 70s, still can't pay the price of gasoline and meat. And that is more true today than it was in the 70s when that song was written. By the way, that song is called Muhammad's Radio, and it doesn't mean what you probably think. Anyway, you know, just being able to buy large cuts and do your own slicing today, this thing will pay for itself. They're normally about $290. It's on sale today, I think, for $219.99. That is a fantastic price. This is a really great tool. It does a fantastic job. And again, I have had some quality issues with Vivor. But I've had this exact machine, and Nicole Sauce has. I think she's had hers longer than mine, and she hasn't had any problems with hers either, so I'm comfortable recommending it. Also want to remind you the item of the day from yesterday, the meter block thermometer, that's still on sale today too. That thing is freaking awesome. Maybe I'll talk more about it tomorrow because you can hear the voice. I need to go. Anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in today. I hope you really enjoyed the show. If you did, my last thing to you is consider becoming an MSB member. Become a member, use the discounts, get more money back than you put in, and you support the show at no real cost to yourself. Take care, guys. I'll catch you tomorrow with an interview. And guess who's coming on tomorrow? The awesome Nicole Sauce will be on tomorrow. Take care. Just run you round. They said you should have a house the American way. A dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.